now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Welcome to Shout Out. I'm Steph Barnett.
And I'm Rose France.
And I'm Ivan Jackson.
Woof.
Who let the dogs out?
Mitch and I were at Castle Park Pride Dog Show chatting to the organisers, the contestants and the owners.
All here, right here on the next... Oh, no, sorry, and we'll be speaking to Isabel Clark.
Yes,
sorry
you
about
will.
That conflict resolution.
Oh, anarchy in the next hour.
Sorry.
All right here on Shout Out.
On Shout Out, yes indeed. That was the first three-way ever on Shout Out, I believe.
Well, yeah. It was only just about a three-way.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
And then that's why I got so confused. As you can tell, listeners. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. It's great. It's lovely having us all in here at the beginning of the show,
Tara's
isn't it?
Yes, and Tara's here as well.
And if you haven't noticed, everybody, Andy's away.
Ooh, where is he?
So the rebels will play.
When yes. Andy's away, then mighty play.
Anarchy rules.
Exactly. Can't wait.
Yeah,
sorry,
so
Andy.
If you didn't catch it, Isabel Clark will be in the studio and talking conflict resolution. And also the LGBT forum.
Yes, yep. Yes,
yep.
She has
also,
two
yep.
hats.
Yep, sorry. Yeah, she's also a member of the LGBT forum. So very interesting talk ahead, interview ahead, I think.
Yes, and Ivan, you were somewhere.
Well, I wasn't at the dog show because I'm more a pussy person. To be
yes, me too.
We've heard
me
that.
So I've heard.
We've heard that.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I was at the.
Like to say I like both. So I'm not. I don't mind dogs or cats.
Right.
Well, that's nice. Just thought I'd say that.
Yeah. I think there are pictures and stuff available of other animals as well down there as well. So anyway, I was at the Pride Theatre LGBT Theatre evening at down at the Assembly Rooms. Sorry, the Old Market Assembly, which was great fun, and I caught up with the wonderful Boogaloo Stew.
Now I'm at the Bristol Assembly Rooms and it's been Pride Theatre night, and guess who I've bumped into? It's Boogaloo Stew. Stew, hello, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, yes.
And you've been here in an alternate ego tonight, haven't you? Because you've been one of the three acts that have been on stage tonight.
Yes, I have quite a different diversion for me, this character, Derek Daniels. He's a northern legend from the 70s, a 70s television show host. And the thing I love about performing as Derek is that he is the complete opposite of Boogaloo Stew's kind of voguish glamour, if you like. He's just ridiculous, a complete idiot.
And fantastic costume as well. You were draped in nylon virtually all the time.
Crimpling, 100% crimpling, three layers of crimpling, very hot, with a nice comb-over hairstyle. It's quite a look.
Well, the whole thing was hysterical. I had no idea you couldn't sing either.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you know me, full of confidence. But, you know, talking about outfits, of course, you are going to be comparing Bristol Pride again this year. You were fantastic last year. Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, I certainly am. It's one of the highlights on my summer calendar. No, it's going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it.
And have you got another outfit to wear? Because I remember last year I had an inadvertent encounter with your bottom backstage. You probably don't remember it, but
happens a lot. I get a lot of inadvertent attention in that area.
So have you got a different outfit this year?
Of course.
Are you going to spill the beans or is it going to
I'm
be a complete
spill
secret?
I'm going to spill the beans. But I'm glad we're going to be on level ground because I'm wearing an exceptionally high platform shoe.
Wow, so health and safety and all that sounds pretty dangerous to me. Mm. Anyway, will you come and have a chat with us live on air at some point in time if you can squeeze us in during the day?
Try and stop me.
Lovely, Stu. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Well, there you go.
Oh, isn't he lovely?
Boogaloo Stew.
He was, but you know, in his theatre act, he was brilliant. He was dressed up as this 70s quiz show. It was called Much A Bit Do About Bingo, his piece was. And it was hysterical, absolutely hysterical. Bright orange. It was a bit hard on the eyes, what he was wearing, but it was a hoot. The whole thing was a hoot. That was just one of three
pieces. It was nice that you actually have told the planet that you had the contact with his bum.
I'd like to share. And let me just tell you very, very quickly about what the first act is about. Shakespeare... and it was Adonis and Venus, you know, his writing there. But Venus was played by a man. Now, of course, Venus would have originally been played by a man, actually, way back when, but not with a beard. So, yeah, it was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
What was the show then? What was it called?
It was the LGBT Theatre Night for Pride, and it was held at the Old Market Assembly Rooms. They've done it last year. Yeah, so it's three separate shows they commissioned specially for the Wardrobe Theatre at the back of the Assembly Rooms. Lovely, lovely little venue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's over to Tara with some events in Outshout. Tara!
Hello!
Good evening. Hello. I can see you. You haven't sunk.
Have I? No, the seat stayed up. Maybe I've lost some weight.
See, there's always plus. There's always a plus on this show. Always a plus.
Or maybe I'm sitting up for a change. It's a slight change.
What have you got for us, my darling?
Well, it's Pride Week, isn't it? And we've all got to go through the Pride calendar, really, and just sell it. So we got Friday. And on Friday, we've got Studio 54, which I believe you're playing the music, some of the music to.
All the music in the show this evening is from Studio 54 days. Yeah. Yes, from the 80s.
So that's the director's cut, and that's at 8:40 p.m. at the Watershed, and it's available on the website. Yeah, so that's the first one. And then we've got the Pride pre-Pride parties on Friday as well, July the 8th. So we can go out and get your top up of alcohol.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Various options. I think most of Bristol will be partying this weekend, don't you? Yeah. And then what we've got is Bristol Parade, Pride Parade, which is quite important, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should all be there. Yeah.
I don't think we can because we're setting up. So.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
But I've done it with, I've walked with my kids when it was, say, a few times from Queen Square to Castle Park.
But this year it is starting in Castle Park.
And it started, I think it represents where we've been and where we're going to this year.
Absolutely.
And that's the whole idea. And I've been told we've got to be there sharp. Yeah.
Yeah, what time's it kick off, Tara?
We've got to be walking away by 11.
Wow.
To be honest.
11 a.m. Yeah.
So, and it's gathering from 10 a.m. So get there, you know, with your friends and have a bit of a walk. And by looks of it, I wouldn't be wearing heels this year. It looks quite a long walk, to be
honest. How far is it then, Tara? Give us a bit of an idea. Oh, about?
I don't know.
It's about three and a half inches on that map that you're holding there. With a loop.
I reckon it's a good 20-25 minute
walk. Well, that's nothing. Mr. Jackson?
I beg your pardon.
I said, is that how you measure stuff, is it?
Well, it's gay inches, you know.
You're walking right into Broadmead, right round Cabot Circus, up past Castle Park, down Baldwin Street, and then straight down into the new venue, to be honest.
Yes, great.
Yes, around the Metro Bus Roadworks.
Yes, quite, yeah.
I'm walking only one way.
I'm suffering from those at the moment, as it is, to be honest, where I live. But there you go. And then the other thing is, there's bi visibility on the 12th at Cafe Kino. So beyond the Pride, shall we say, and that's at Stokes Croft.
So it's bi visibility recovery, more like, isn't it? Really,
it
after Pride
just
weekend.
Be actually, yeah, and that's at 8 p.m. And the other thing is, and it's something more personal for me, is gender intelligence is on a Monday. So have a look at the website, and if you're aged between 13 and 24. Have a look and come on down, to be honest. It's really important.
It's at the station, isn't it?
And that's at the station, yes.
The old fire station.
So that's 6 till 8 p.m. there. So come on down, to be honest. And you're always welcome there. And there's a good age group. And you know what? You find out you're not the only one, to be honest. So
yeah, I've been there. You invited me along, didn't you?
That's right.
Some of the kids.
What, I thought you said it was 13 to 24, though. Did you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
How did Steph get in?
That'd
be funny.
I left my Zimmer outside.
Divide by three, you get there.
School uniform.
Talking of pussy.
Now you're talking.
So I think that's, you know, youth group's quite important, to be honest. And I think we need to do a bit more of that. And actually, if you're out there and you've got something to share with us, you know, email in and we will promote it, to be honest.
Yeah, marvellous. Thank you
Tara. Very much.
That's all right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Heather Small, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Yvonne Elliman, if I can't have you.
I thought you were going to start talking then. That's why I said.
No, that I was just warning you. I didn't want you saying anything you shouldn't. Well, the mics
of course
were
I'd
so
never
I was just
do that.
Warning you.
Never. Not
yes,
me.
Of course
I'm
not.
Very good.
Actually, it's more Ivan that's likely to do something like that.
I've been picked on here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Anyway. On to our
see the producer.
Yeah, she's just over there in the corner. Anyway, on to our lovely guest who's come to visit us tonight, and that's Isabel Clark. Hello, Isabel.
Hi, hello.
There she is. One of the reasons why we've got you in, Isabel, is because you've got a very interesting job. Not any interesting job, but you also do amazing work volunteering as well on the LGBT forum in Bristol. And we were actually interested in, first of all, your work of mediation and reconciliation through your company, Transform Training. So first of all, just to get the ball rolling, I'd quite like to know how and when Transform Training started and how it got going.
Okay, so I started it about 7 years ago. I was in my last year of teaching at a local school and I already was doing a lot of training work for the local authority. And I thought, oh, this may be something that I can do when I semi-retire. So I asked if I could have one day a week working for myself in that final year, and I worked every week, so I knew the work was out there. So it was quite simple to then, when I did leave the school, to start the business, and I now work about 2-3 days a week.
Wow. Okay, and what, just tell us about sort of what it involves, the Transform Company actually involves.
Okay,
what work
so
you do.
I chose that title because it's about doing training differently. Because of my background in mediation, conflict resolution, I work as a coach and a mentor as well, that I've I go into organisations and I use the softer skills that one might have as a trainer to help teams and to help groups to manage the conflict that might be under the surface that's preventing them performing and prevents them really coming up with the goods and doing what they want to do because the relationships have broken down.
Yeah. And so how did that kind of start within yourself? Because obviously people are kind of led in different directions in their lives. So what made you want to do that particularly?
So I became a volunteer with Bristol Mediation right at the beginning, and I think that was about 29, 30 years ago. And we never know quite what it is that we are looking for, but I guess that somewhere I was looking for the thing that I needed in my own life, as often happens. And I had a pretty conflicted upbringing. Parents separated. It took a long time to happen, and then finally it did happen. So I lived with a lot of tension and difficulty in the family home. And I suppose looking back on it, although I wasn't so conscious of it as a young person, I probably had that incongruence around my own, the social life I was having and how I really felt about myself underneath. And so I think there was that internal conflict as well.
Yeah, sure.
Isabel, you were actually brought up as a Quaker, weren't you?
And it was I'm not a birthright Quaker.
Oh, okay.
No.
So it's, but you are now, aren't
I am,
you?
Yes. I came to Quakers about, 30 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. Yeah. But they have this history of mediation as well, don't they? With the conflict management.
Yes.
Is that how you sort of became involved in it as well?
Absolutely, because it was a group of women in the meeting who had, it was just after the riots in St. Paul's. And they looked at that situation and thought, in this city, there should be a group of people who are able to help and support the needs and the fears of the people living that caused the riot. And so they decided they would start some sort of conflict management, conflict resolution organisation. It turned into Bristol Mediation.
And of course, the Quakers, historically, in the UK at least, have been really supportive of the LGBT community as well, haven't they?
Absolutely. From as far back as I can remember, same-sex couples have been able to marry amongst Quakers, and also the Quaker meeting doesn't have a hierarchy, a priesthood or anything like that, so everybody takes responsibility, and so they entirely support. They have no prejudice within them around who might be taking that responsibility and what they might be doing.
So that must have helped you a lot as well, then, as you were sort of growing older or whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And does the work within mediation, does it sort of impinge on LGBT issues?
That's interesting, because so often my work for Bristol Mediation is by and large neighbour mediation. The work I do for my own company is family mediation and workplace mediation, but for Bristol Mediation it's neighbour mediation. And so often it's the presenting problem is who's putting the dustbins out, who parked their car in front of somebody else's house, how high the fence is. But when you meet the couples, on occasions, of course, it's to do with lifestyle. And the lifestyle is perhaps, maybe these days it might be more open, but when we first started, often it was something that was hidden through choice, but you just felt the tension was there because the neighbours didn't like who they thought they were. So yes, it's been really useful to have my background in those particular cases.
So often some sort of prejudice is often at the root of conflict, is that what you're saying as well?
At the root of conflict is needs and fears, people's needs not being met and their fear, and out of that I think does then come the behaviour, which is the prejudice, yeah.
But you also work in schools as well, don't you?
I do work in schools,
so of course, I mean, children, I mean, we're not born with prejudice, are we? So no. So where did children get that kind of prejudice, or why do they come into conflict?
So with children, it's often tensions around how they feel that the children have got a huge sense of justice, haven't they? They always know when something's appears to be wrong. And so they have a sense of that. And that's why peer mediation, which is what I go into primary schools and help train year 5 and year 6 students in to be peer mediators. And it works brilliantly for them because they absolutely get it at a very basic level. They understand about how a mediated conversation might work because of that inbuilt sense of justice they have at that age.
Oh, and what sort of age groups are you dealing with? Are you going into primary schools or secondary schools, or does it matter?
I've trained peer mediators in both primary and secondary schools. Yeah.
And what sort of social strata are we dealing with? I mean, are we dealing with like private schools or state schools?
My preference is state schools because that's basically where I'm comfortable. But I worked a few years ago at a school which can't be named in Windsor, and trained a group of year 8 students there to be peer mediators, and it was extraordinary and it was very powerful because after all, many of those young people are going to be in positions of authority and positions of
grab them while they're young. What sort of feedback do you get from teachers and parents? Do you get feedback from teachers and parents after you've been in? Do they see a noticeable difference in the way
absolutely.
The kids are behaving?
Yes, and you were about to say the word performing.
Do you know
and
what I did?
It absolutely does affect performance. You can imagine if you've got issues around tensions that are there and fights that break out and so on, you're not going to be in the right bit of your brain to do the work that has to be there. So, and the other thing when you talk about performing, I go into schools and adult education units and work with staff on how to manage young people who may well be coming out or maybe transitioning and so on. And so this is to help support staff in language and in having a look at what's around them and the culture they create in the organisation. And that's been really popular in the last couple of years.
Because understand when you were sort of perhaps in teaching, there wasn't as much as that. There wasn't the preparation for people who wanted to come out or have gender issues and so on. So how has it moved on since then?
It's moved on hugely because of the kind of thinking around what identity is and what one's birth gender is and what one's sex is and all those kind of issues that have, I guess, have come out of research, haven't they? And people being asked questions in much more depth about how they see themselves. And so as a result of that, there's been a freedom, I think, amongst young people to recognise that they can do something about it and they don't have to sit with a sexuality they're not comfortable with or with a gender they don't feel is theirs.
It's really important, isn't it? So, yeah.
And teachers want to get it right. I need to say that, you know, teachers really do.
Yeah.
So your background's in drama, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you find that role play plays a lot in the way? I mean, I'm just guessing. Yes, I haven't asked you this before. Yeah. Do you use that when you're dealing with the kids?
Yes, absolutely, and they love that, of course. Anything they can do where they can play at being that person.
So you can play to be Mr. Nasty or Mrs. Nasty.
Exactly. Yeah. But when I work with adults, I've recognised that I mustn't put role play on the agenda before they come to the, because I was losing people and I didn't understand why they weren't coming, and I was told by the authority it's because they can't bear the thought of role play. So I now call it strategy rehearsal, and people flock.
Kids don't care, do they? They'll do anything.
They don't get embarrassed. And adults, actually, when they put on the evaluation, that the best part of this training was when we had to practice doing this, but call it strategy rehearsal and you've got them there.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it, to try and put yourself in someone else's shoes as well and actually play that out. It's such a powerful tool as well.
Should we go on to your other hat that you wear also, Isabel, because you're part of the LGBT Forum in Bristol. Can you tell us about that anybody doesn't know anything anything about the LGBT forum, yes. What it is, how it came about, and who's involved.
So I first of all met Sarah Louise Minter, who runs it, and I just went and volunteered. I said I'd like to do some work for the community because I haven't up until now because of working full time. And so she actually said, well, don't just volunteer, come and be on the board of trustees, because then you can have a say around the kind of things that we do. And she knew that I had already had experience of being on committees and things. So I've been on the LGBT forum as a trustee for the last 4 years. And my role is to contribute as much as I can actively to be engaged in the things that they put on, and to, you know, read through the accounts, and to help with interviews and selection of people. So yeah.
What sort of events do they put on, Isabel? What's
well, of course, they're very heavily involved in Pride this weekend, so we hope to see lots of people down there and come and find us on our stall. But they do. Whatever the need is in the LGBT community in Bristol, this forum will try and find a way of meeting that need. They're very heavily involved with hate crime services at the moment, as you can imagine, because there's been you know this, don't you? There's been far more hate crime happening even in this city in the last couple of weeks.
Well, yes. An upsurge, okay.
But they also do walkout, which is for people to get to know the city better with like-minded people and at a pace that they're comfortable with. They run a tea dance. They also do lots of training. Other people in the LGBT forum are out in schools doing kind of work and raising awareness with organisations. And they're also very aware of mental health issues, and so they go around out and work with groups of people around, you know, helping them to be better, well again, and so on and so forth. So it's a really...
Yeah. Can I ask one question, which has just actually sprung to my mind, and that is, do they do anything with churches at all, or religious communities?
I'm afraid I don't know the answer
right,
to that.
Right, okay. I just wondered.
Why did you ask?
Because
that's a place where...
I mean, that's something that's probably a bit more closer to my heart, and I would have thought, you know, that would have been a fantastic group of people to go in and actually talk about something they know something about, and there's influence, and they have such a, like yourself, have such a broad and long experience of the issues, rather than, you know, just sort of
I'm
guessing.
I'm taking notes here, Rose, because I think that's a really good idea. I've never thought of that as a constituency that might be interested, but you're right.
In terms of the structure of the forum, obviously you said you're one of the trustees, but there's also a large number of volunteers involved as well, is that correct?
Yes, and in fact very recently, about a month ago, we took over a room in St Werburgh's Community Centre, and we trained 12 people to become volunteers with the organisation. We're always looking for volunteers.
So if somebody's listening and says, oh, you know what, I'd really like to get involved with that, it sounds something that I could really contribute to, I've got something to offer, how would they get in touch with the forum? How would they get?
They go onto the website and they can see the details there, and they can see the phone numbers to ring.
Do you know what the website is? Otherwise, we'll pop it up on our website anyway, offhand. Don't worry about it if you don't know offhand. That's fine. We'll get it from you later.
All right. Yes.
But what about, you know, we were talking earlier on about your transformation training, your transform training. How do people get in contact with you if they're interested in getting you into their school, or to come and talk to the kids, or if somebody's listening, they've got a conflict with their neighbour and they could really do with some kind of conflict resolution, how would they get in contact with you for that?
Well, up until now, it's all been word of mouth. I'm just
really?
Passed around in that way. So I know I should have a website. I don't have a website. I could put my email address somewhere.
Lovely. We have your email address.
Yeah.
So if you're okay with that, we can pop
handy.
That up. That'd be absolutely brilliant.
Are you okay with us giving that away?
Yeah.
The email address you need is Isabel Clark, or one word, at transformtraining, or one word, .co.uk.
Thank you.
Wow, there you go.
And do people ever get involved as well with actually helping with mediation on a voluntary basis, or are they all sort of employed?
Yes, Bristol Mediation is entirely run, apart from the office staff, entirely run by 40 volunteers. Mm-hmm. And they do training for volunteers, Bristol Mediation, twice a year. And again, if anyone out there feels that they would be good in those situations of bringing people together and helping them to formulate their own process to make things better and to heal the hurt, then they could...
contact you, maybe.
Me or Bristol Mediation does have a website.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for coming in
and
talking to us.
Thank you very much.
I think we could have such a longer conversation, but we have to wrap it up there. But thank you very much. People can contact you through your email and through the Shout Out website. So Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you as well.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Shalimar, Night to Remember. That's a good one to sing along to. Studio
no
54 Director's Cut. Everyone was singing. Well, everyone was singing at home.
We were singing inside.
I was singing in my head. Because my voice doesn't really work.
Oh.
I know Ann has recorded it a few times, caught me singing and put the mics up.
Oh, he did. Cruel.
It was cruel. Cruelest
what,
thing
to the
ever.
Listeners or?
Yes.
No, to just staff.
Well, yeah. It was cruel to me and to the listeners, Rose.
Aww. We don't mind hearing you sing. That's okay.
Yes. That's okay. Actually, I don't know. Have you got the Canadian thing, Justin Trudeau, in the news?
No, it's on the website.
Okay. We can talk about him later.
Mm.
Mm.
Yes.
Is it news time now?
It is.
It fabulous. Is.
Funny you should say that.
The US military's most high-profile transgender prisoner, Chelsea Manning, has struggled with her mental health and was reportedly taken to hospital on Tuesday after reportedly attempted to take her own life. Miss Manning is now back in her cell at a military prison where she is serving a 35-year sentence for leaking classified documents detailing American operations to the whistleblowing website WikiLeaks. Miss Manning is a controversial figure who splits gay and trans opinion down the middle. She is regarded as a traitor by the more conservative parts of the US LGBT movement, but for those parts more aligned to the political left, she is seen as a hero revealing war crimes and other abuses of power in the Middle East.
The Bristol Post newspaper reports that a single guy from the city and a lesbian couple are the first guests on a new documentary show called Naked on the cable and satellite network TLC. The programme, which goes out from July the 15th at 10 o'clock, will air each week and look at the psychology of attraction, with participants getting into bed on the first date.
Media website Digital Spy says that the movie version of the gay favourite television show Absolutely Fabulous has been generating rave reviews. However, for two London cinema goers, the film was possibly too much fun. Cindy Amos and Jacqueline Cox told the Mirror they were told to laugh on the inside by the cinema manager at a recent screening at Islington View Cinema. When they continued to roar with laughter, the management asked them to leave. Cindy and Jacqueline said they were disappointed, but the filmmakers should be proud that the movie is funny.
Meanwhile, the Jewish Chronicle newspaper speaks this week to Lynn Franks, the fashion guru whose flamboyant lifestyle in the 80s as head of a fashion house is commonly considered to have inspired Absolutely Fabulous. Franks says that she's parted company with Eddie's personality as she's gotten older, but that she loved the movie. Franks remains a committed feminist and is writing a book. She says it's about community power, women's grassroots initiatives, women taking leadership roles in their towns and villages.
Are you interested in history? Increasingly, LGBT people and other minorities are recognising that to understand the present, we need to understand and process the past, and that if majority culture will not look after our shared heritage, then we need to do it ourselves. The US gay magazine The Advocate this week publishes a polemic by Professor Martin Poussin, a creative writing course leader in California, reminding the community that in order to understand the mixed motives behind such terrible events as the Portland nightclub shootings, we, as a community, need to appreciate and study our past.
The Israeli Broadcasting Authority radio network has reported that liberal Jews, who have traditionally supported the involvement of women and LGBT people in religious life, held a small protest today at the Western Wall in Jerusalem, a religious site usually dominated by ultra-conservative sects. Although attracting a few hecklers, the demonstration passed off peacefully and was reported to have included singing and dancing. Meanwhile, the gay newswire Pink News has published an essay which warns that the gay-friendly area in Israel has now shrunk to the liberal city of Tel Aviv.
The socialist and feminist English Collective of Prostitutes has said that it welcomes a new report from the Home Affairs Select Committee, which recommends a change in the law so that soliciting is no longer an offence and so that brothel-keeping provisions allow sex workers to share premises. Laura Watson for the ECP added that the committee also calls for a law to delete previous convictions and cautions for prostitution from the record of sex workers. The ECP and other unions organising sex workers said in a statement, Credit for this victory belongs to the international movement for decriminalisation, spearheaded by grassroots sex workers over 40 years.
And finally, we know that green issues tend to appeal to LGBT people, many of whom say in surveys that they have a concern for the environment. And we know that a lot of gay and trans people are interested in paganism and nature spirituality, religions that have tended to be more tolerant of diversity than monotheistic ones. So you might like to know that the pagan radio station Wildwood Radio reports on Spirits of the Trees initiative this week. It's a joint venture between the Order of Bards, Ovates and Druids, the British Druid Order and the Druid Network. Its aim is to support the Woodland Trust's call for a new UK charter for trees, woods and the people by holding open public Druid ceremonies throughout 2017, which is the 800th anniversary of the Charter for Forests. For more information, visit the website of the Woodland Trust or the Druid Network.
For these news stories and much more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Natalie.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Hi, this is Nikki French and you're listening to Shoutout.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Sylvester, you make me feel.
Do I?
Brand new.
Oh.
Sylvester, that's a cat.
Mr. Gender Fluid or Mrs. Gender Fluid?
Sylvester the Cat.
Sylvester the Cat. Yeah.
I remember that cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvester the Cat. Sylvester the Pop Star. Sylvester McCoy, who was Doctor Who.
Yes.
That's Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah. Keep this one going around the table.
Yeah, brilliant. What are we doing next, Steph?
Me and Mitch, that is, went to a special event at Castle Park.
Oh, yeah, and I hear you're fluent in dog.
Absolutely.
I'm here for the dog show, and people are busily signing up for their dogs for all the different categories. We've got waggiest tail, most well-groomed, best pup owner, best veteran, happiest rescue dog, best trick, most like owner, prettiest eyes, puggiest pug, dog we'd most like to take home. And everyone's looking really excited and happy, and it's actually a really nice day for a change. What's your name?
Ian.
Hello, Ian. And what's the dog that you've bought today?
Penny. She's a white German Shepherd.
Have you been here before?
Nope, first time. She's 16 months old.
Oh, fantastic. So this will be her first doggy show, will it?
Yep, definitely. First time out.
Oh, great. Okay, well, I look forward to seeing how she gets on. Hello, Sarah. And who have you bought today?
This is Maggie.
Maggie. And do you know what category you're entering Maggie for?
Maggie's in waggiest tail, best coat and prettiest eyes.
Well, I think she'll do really well. What's your name?
Lindsay.
Who have you bought today?
Spode.
Spode. That's a good name. And what category are you entering, Spode?
We've done best trick and best groom so far.
Great. Lovely. So looking forward to that then.
Yeah, not sure what his trick's going to be, but I think he'll come up with something.
Hi. Just come all the way over here to the wall. Hello. What's your name?
I'm Dean. Her name is Maisie, and her category today, she's in the best eyes and the best groomed.
Oh, fantastic. And is this the first time you've come to the Pride Dog Show?
We did actually come last year, but we came late and it was raining. So we got a bit wet for about 20 minutes and then had to go home. So this is the first time we've been where it's been sunny. We can actually enjoy it.
That's what we've asked for. We've ordered this for today because last year was a bit of a washout. You're absolutely right. But today we've got a lovely space and we've got some lovely doggies in the competition. Yes, so definitely. Good luck.
Thank you.
I'm going to hand over to Steph.
It was a lovely day at Castle Park, and during a break of Freddie presenting the winners with their rosettes and prizes, I pulled him to one side and we had a chat. How's it gone today?
Oh, it's lovely. The sun has come out. The dogs have come out. It's just...
I tell you, I just come from North Bristol. There was a deluge. You missed it.
We've been lucky. It was a bit touch and go this morning when we were setting up the gazebos, but now it's just gorgeous sunshine.
It is sunshine and quite a good turn up.
Yeah, I think it's probably a busiest one yet. We've moved sites this year. So last year in Corn Street, it just got so jam-packed. We thought, let's open it up a bit. Let's have a bit of green. And yeah.
I remember Corn Street. That was a bit packed. Yet. And you're being sponsored. Yeah.
Not being sponsored, we've been partnered up with Holly Hedge Animal Sanctuary, so just having them along to talk about what they do. We think they do such great work, we had to invite them along.
And how do you think it's gone with the dogs? The ones I've seen are actually must know they're in public because they're refusing to do anything despite the treats.
I think our trick round had a few dogs who got a bit of stage fright, but there's a lot going on, so you can't blame them, can you?
Thanks. I'm going to have a walk around the crowd now.
First of all, I thought I'd have a chat with some of the contestants. What's your name? Are you actually gay, or would you describe yourself as bisexual? Interesting. Are you taking part at all, or are you just here to watch? You've got a lovely coat on. Aren't you a bit warm in that, in this sun? Do you think you're going to win today? I must say, you are looking really, really good. Have you brought your owner with you? Oh, it's not your owner. Oh, okay. It's the human that looks after you. Well, good luck.
What prize did you just pick up?
I just picked up Most Like Owner, didn't we, Louis?
But Louis not wearing glasses?
No. But he's a little bit hot and bothered like me at the moment. Oh, so.
And entangled in the mic.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to look like anyone else. Louis was robbed last year because of the rain, but now we've got the first prize, haven't we, Louis?
Well done, Louis.
Dawe, or Juno, that's my dog.
Juno, how many prizes have you won?
Two.
Really? What did you win? Well, what did your dog win? Okay, you haven't won.
I got nothing to do with this. The first one she won was the Waggis tail, which I didn't even notice she was wagging at all, but apparently she did. So I'm really pleased with that. And then she's got the prettiest eyes, which I do agree, because that's what I fell in love with when I first saw her.
I'm loving your hair. Are you ready for Pride?
Thank you. I am. I'm totally ready. I'm like ready since like same time last year. We're expecting this Pride.
Are you going to be on to picture from Sing Out?
That's correct. Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to be singing this year at Pride?
We'll be the first act on, I think, straight after the parade. And we're going to be performing a 30-minute set, which will be the longest we've ever done. So, yeah, you will
look forward to that. I'll be sat next to you in the studio. Oh, yeah. So we'll be chatting to you guys when you come off.
Brilliant.
Yeah. You all from Sing Out? Yeah. You having a good time? Why are you pointing at him?
Yeah, I'm having a great time. And yeah.
Good luck with next weekend. We'll be listening and watching.
Hi, I'm Corona, and you listen to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Jimmy Bohorn. Bit of spanking going on there.
I was going to say, it's clapping, and not, or is that spanking going on? I don't know. It's a bit... Terry,
you shouldn't do that on the side
so
of Terry.
Goodness me.
That's going to leave a mark.
I know. Sorry.
Get into trouble.
Yeah, there you go.
Honestly, you boys and girls, I don't know.
It's a good job there's a wall between us, isn't there?
Yeah.
Really?
It takes all sorts.
Exactly.
Just be open-minded.
Mm. How come one dog, just going back to the dog show, I'm a bit concerned about this, one dog won two prizes. I don't understand that.
I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive. You can win more than one prize,
I
think.
Maybe,
If you've got a tail and you've got eyes, you can wag your tail.
Sorry, you nearly made a mistake then, didn't you?
I did.
Actually, I think there was enough prizes at that show for every dog to have three each.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
No, I just thought it was a bit of, skulldoggery going on.
I don't think skulldoggery?
Yeah.
Skulldoggery.
Skulldoggery. Yeah, but a bit of cheating by the hounds, naughty hounds.
There was no cheating went on at all.
There we are.
Mitch was involved in the judging. You can trust Mitch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll let her off. No.
Yeah. So, loads going on, isn't there, around the world at the moment?
I was loving Justin Trudeau in the Canadian
Toronto Pride.
He got heavily involved, didn't he?
He did, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I was liking that a lot.
It's nice to see Toronto Pride. I mean, it's a little bit controversial because they had a couple of disruptions for various reasons, which we won't go into now.
He's looking
but there's lots of different... factions involved.
He's looking at gender-free identity cards, isn't he?
Gender-free identity cards. He's also looking at some legislation, because they've got some pretty archaic sexual practice laws in Canada that I don't want to go into too much sort of detail about them, but basically they're kind of discriminatory against what men do with men or women do with men and that sort of thing.
Similar to the we used to have years ago.
He's actually promised to change those so that everybody can do whatever they want, really. So there we go. So that's good.
And all change in this country because the next Prime Minister will be a woman.
Yes.
Second woman Prime Minister in the UK.
Yeah. Well, it is a toss-up, isn't it, between a woman and a woman?
Yes.
In the leadership context.
And no matter how you thought of Margaret Thatcher, because, a Marmite figure. Those women are going to be stepping into some interesting shoes, really. Maybe toxic? Yeah. I don't know. It should be interesting. Having said that, we talked about this earlier, weren't we, Terry? Both of them don't have a particularly wonderful record on LGBT rights.
We're looking at
progressive dinosaurs, really.
I heard that actually one of them had voted for gay marriage.
She changed her tune
after a long time.
Very quickly go over Theresa May's voting, because it's very likely that she will win. In 98, she voted against the equalising of the age of consent for gay sex. She voted against repealing Section 28, which banned the promotion of homosexuality. She said no to same-sex adoption. She said no to civil partnerships. And she didn't once bother to turn up to a vote on the Gender Recognition Act either. Right. Since she's been in the Home Office, she's put policies in place which force LGBT asylum seekers to be humiliated, proving their sexuality with photographs and videos, and when others were told they couldn't be gay simply because they had children. Her record. So latterly, she has become she voted for same-sex marriage. So you're right there, Rose. Mm. She's moved on that. And Terry's said to me earlier, she's quite an experienced politician, so she knows
which way the wind's blowing. So hopefully, she will back equality in the future. Yeah. But yes, it's not a very rosy record, is it?
Yeah. I mean, Andrea Leadsom, she failed to vote for same-sex marriage. She was on TV today saying that she was not happy about gay marriage law because of, and I'm quoting, hurt caused to many Christians. And I'm quoting again, she says, as a Christian, she continued that marriage should have remained as a Christian service that was for men and women who wanted to commit in the eyes of God. Well, of course, marriage...
Thus offending Jews, Muslims, pagans.
Exactly, because lots of people get married.
Lots of other people.
Anyone.
Other
right, gang, let's lift the mood a bit. 60 seconds, right. Abfab.
Abfab, yes.
I loved it. Did you love it? So we saw it together, didn't we?
We did, yes. We were sat in opposite sofas. I thought it was really good. If you love the series, you will love the movie. Yeah.
They took the mickey out of everybody, didn't they? Gay, trans.
Everyone took a hit.
Yeah, although it's kind of aimed at Adina and Patsy rather than whether you were gay or trans. It made them sort of a little bigoted and old-fashioned, didn't it? Yeah. So I think it's important to make that distinction.
And it's always had a huge gay and trans following, hasn't it?
It has,
Abfab.
It's been going for 24 years. You know that?
As long as that? Wow.
Yeah, that was the first time Patsy and Adina hit our screens.
It was 92, was it? 1992?
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah. I feel ancient
now. She's flashing at us, Steph. Steph's
I like
flashing.
That
flash. Flashing.
Especially when we're on air.
Yeah,
no one can see.
Well, there you go.
There was a lot of cameos.
Yeah, there's more cameos in this film than any other film in history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, that is a fact.
Joan Collins was in there.
Yeah, Stella McCartney, Kate Moss, Lulu, Kathy Burke, blah, blah, blah. Bruce Willis, Whoopi Goldberg, it goes on and on.
Right.
Well, I think we have to wrap up.
We do have to wrap up, yeah.
Yes, we do.
But back next week with all the
highlights
of Bristol.
All the highlights of Pride.
Oh, yep. Yes, highlights of Pride.
Check us out online. Yes.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.